talking a little bit about some discussions about destined to reign and to reign. And I want to, and I told you I finished on Sunday. I want to just kind of pick up from where I stopped on Sunday, and then we'll take it from there this coming Sunday. We said a lot of things, and we talked about the value of faith. We talked about the value of what it means to reign, and to reign requires hard work, requires the part you have to play. That we know that we cannot just all put everything on God wants us to do, but we also have to understand that we cannot put everything on what God or what we want God to do. We have to understand that God also wants us to do. The scripture says in Genesis, God said to Abraham God said to Adam and said, be fruitful, and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, because God said, be fruitful and multiply, they didn't have to go and say, Lord God, what do you want us to do again? When God said, go and name the animals, they didn't say, Lord God, speak to me what the name it is that you want me to say. Because once you are of the mind of Christ, you have all, and you read the Word of God, you have all that God has inside of you. And what God expects from us is to do something about what we've already received. Is somebody with me today? So a lot of times I find that the Christians believe a lot, they pray a lot, they wait a lot, and they wait a lot. You know, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. They wait a lot. What do you want to study in school? I'm waiting on the Lord. They wait so much more that time goes, and that's the thing you can never get back. Time is a thing you never get back. The Bible says, redeeming the time. Time and chance happens to them all. Bible talks about redeeming the chance, the time. So God doesn't want, you know, Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it's still day, for the night comes when you cannot work anymore. So Jesus was particular about timing because it was critical to him to realize that he needed to do what God wants him to do, what God wanted him to do when he came here. You know, when he was talking to his mother, he said, Mother, my time has not come. The woman pulled the time out of him. So time and chance happened to them all. And so the thing we realize is the fact that's one thing. We cannot keep waiting. We cannot keep just praying and keep the name of Jesus to a place where it's not being ported. The name of Jesus should be taken to the place where it needs to detonate and then discharge the power where it needs to happen. Somebody say amen. So we talked all about that. If you do not remember that, it's called DIC Spring TV. Just go on the YouTube channel and search for DIC Spring TV, and you will be able to get our messages, and particularly the one from Sunday. I know that you'll be blessed even if you go back and listen to that. I want to start from the part where I said, faith helps you believe enough to do something. You cannot keep using the word faith and not do something. The Bible says faith in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. In James chapter 1, the Bible says that do not just be hearers of the word alone. For if you're a hearer, you're not learning anything. You're not doing anything. You get nothing. It said, but be doers of the word. So it's not those who hear, but those who do that really make a difference in life. So you can hear all you want to hear in terms of the word, but if you do not do, if you and I do not do, then nothing, the word can never be set in motion. And the Bible says about his word that he sent his word, and the word healed them and delivered them out of their destruction. In other words, the word is supposed to be in motion. The Bible says he spoke things into being. So the word is supposed to be in motion. And one of the ways we make the word motion is through what we speak and what we do. If we do not do, we do not let the word have an opportunity to have a place to move or an opportunity to move something in our lives. Say to your neighbor, say, I will make the word do things in my life. Say, I will speak the word, I will do the word, and I will gain results. Amen. And let's go back to, so when I say this, when we're talking about we want faith and do, all we do is so that we can gain success in the areas of life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, that it says, he has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on earth. Reigning on earth means you have success in what you do. And when we talked about reigning on earth and we talked about success in what we do, we also mentioned something which is critical, some of those which we call the goats, right? The greatest of all time. In anything you do, in what you've been called to do, you are supposed to be the best. Just like there are no two DNAs that are match alike, even if they're twins from the same mother, there's never 100% match in the DNA. No two fingerprints are the same. The same way where no two gifts are exactly the same. The gifts have been given to people, but the measure to which you're given are different. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit gives to the measure of faith. So the measure to which you receive, now I may be an engineer. There's some engineer, electrical engineer, who's the richest man in the world today. Maybe you did not know, but Jeff Bezos was an electrical engineer. He's the richest man today. I'm an electrical engineer. I'm not the richest man today. Yet. I love that. I'm not the richest man in the world today, yet. But we're both electrical engineers. We both studied. I've got electrical engineers, and I might be in a doctor, and they're doctors. But each one pursues his own success in life. There's some doctors that decide, I want to go to missionary trips. And there's some doctors that says, I want to be the Surgeon General of the United States. But doctors, but different purposes. And so success is not dependent on just looking at other people. Success is, what do you want success in? You have to sit down and identify what success is. But God said he has given us all things that pertain to life and success. And life in Christ Jesus. And so we just have to do our part to reach and attain that success. So let's define success a bit, right? What is success in an area? And I'm going to go through a few of them here today. The first definition I'm going to give to success and how if we're going to define what success is this. Success is stretching yourself beyond your comfort zone until you set a record of excellence in a particular area. I'll say that again. Success is stretching yourself beyond your comfort zone until you set a record of excellence in a particular area. Now, mediocrity never attains success. Mediocrity has never created anything. Mediocrity aligns with the status quo. It says what is, what has always been, would be what will be. Que sera, sera. Mediocrity is just when you go and you just leave and say things happen and you just go, c'est la vie, such is life. Mediocrity never creates. Mediocrity takes what's been there and it settles within it. If you're going to be good at anything, you cannot stay at mediocrity. You'd need to stretch. Now, the question is, how far do you have to stretch as far as it takes you to be good? We need to stretch as far as it takes us to be good. It has been said that Michael Jordan will go out and have and throw, I don't know whether it's 50 or 500, free throws every day. When he is called the greatest of all time, the question is how many people will pay the price as he has paid the price? When David was asked to marry his wife, when Saul was going to give David his wife, his second daughter, Saul told David and said, you need to give me 100 foreskins. David went out and got 200 foreskins. See, David was not a mediocre. David didn't believe in settling. David did not believe in the status quo. If you're going to be successful, you have to push beyond the status quo. Where have other people stopped? We need to start and say, what can I add? How can I add more value to where they've stopped? You know, I remember many years ago, I used to think that if I can duplicate somebody, what somebody else did, that means I am successful. In other words, someone rode the bike and lifted up. And I decided to ride my own bike and I lifted up too. I would look at success and say, whew, I'm successful. But maybe the guy took a long time to learn how to race his own bike. And maybe it took me 2 minutes to do that, and what I need to do will be greater than what to ride my own bike. I just stopped at somebody else's success. I stopped at what other people felt like was success. And so we'll talk more about how you then look at success so that you can really put it in the right frame of mind. Now, in Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, you can see what Paul said there. Now, this is Paul who had, despite leading a large church, did not settle there. Philippians chapter 3. And if we can just be like Paul. Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament, yet he did not feel like he had already gotten there. Paul had preached around, and you can read his letters. He had mighty things that happened in Paul's life, you know. You can read about it. But Paul got to the point and said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say with me, press on. I stretch further. Now, it says, despite having such success, it says, not that I've already reached my ultimate, but I press on. You know, there's something that people always say, it's that the rich gets richer. And I laugh at that. I said, what would you do? If you're rich, are you going to sit there and say, now I've got everything I'm going to put down there? And that's one thought process. But when you're rich and you have that, then your mind begins to go, how can I give back? How can I go beyond myself? There's any world, anyone that's got the ability to, the mindset of stretching will never get to a point where they feel like they have already attained. And that's what Paul said here. And it's not because you don't reach your goals. It means you realize that as you get there, there'll be a bigger vision. And Paul got there and he says, not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may obtain, verse 12, 13, I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Well, let me understand this. And if he has already preached in the largest church, he's already done a whole lot of things, he's already been successful, why is he still trying to lay hold of why Christ laid hold of him? Why is there more to that? Somebody say stretching. Because he's stretching. And then verse 14 of our scripture says, it says, but I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, and here's what a secret is, forgetting the things that are behind me and reaching forward to what? The things that are what? Ahead. How are you stretching beyond where you are? How are you stretching beyond where you are? Now, before you decide to stretch, I want to say something. You need to know why you're stretching. You see, I gave the example of when I'm riding my bike and someone raises the bike and I decide, it's called doing a wheelie. He did a wheelie and I decided to do a wheelie. If I do not know why I'm doing that, maybe I'm greater, I want to do something greater than wheelie, and wheelie is just my beginning. If I do not know my why I want to stretch, why I'm doing that, I will never stretch to my fullest potential. In any area you see yourself, any area that you see yourself, that you see yourself succeeding or you want to succeed in, make sure to stretch in that area. I put down there, I said, make sure to stretch in what area you enjoy or you see yourself succeeding, but you aren't succeeding yet. Pick up the area. What area do you want to succeed? What area have you succeeded in, but you know that there's a lot more in your life that you can give more? Choose that area and stretch. Now, one thing you should not do is this. Don't stretch in what you hate doing. Don't choose to stretch in what you hate doing, because what's going to happen is you'll only increase the hatred of it. So first thing you have to find out if you have to stretch, if you're looking at success. You know, don't do it because other people are doing it, because guess what? If you hate it and you just want to prove to somebody that I can do it, and you go learn how to do it and you get it done, you just hate your success. It's the reason why some people, their parents say, you must study to become a doctor, and the child goes on and becomes a doctor, and they hate doctors. They just hate their success. And there's some people who cannot become a doctor, and they say, oh, wow. You're a doctor, I'm trying to be that. But people who hate it, the person that became it hated it. They stretched. They got there, but they hated it. It's important to, because here's one thing. When you stretch in the area you desire, you would have always wake up with a passion. So let me say this again. You don't have to stretch in everything in your world, but you have to be specific in the area you want to stretch. You can't be everything to everyone. And Paul said it. It's impossible to be everything to everyone. You have to know what person, I want to lay hold of reason why Christ has laid hold of me. Whatever that reason is, it gives them a reason to keep stretching. What areas are you stretching in your life? You know, many years ago, I don't even know how this, growing up, and I don't know how many of you, I did not grow up with a dishwasher. I did not like doing dishes. As a matter of fact, to do dishes, I had to go to the well, and I had to get the water for that. Maybe that was a frustrating thing. I had to go get the water from the well and bring it home to do dishes. It's like you're fetching water for dirty dishes. That just doesn't sit well with me. And I'll do dishes, and I did not like it. I grew up understanding that, and then when I grew up and I got to a point where I realized that if I didn't do the dishes, nobody else would do the dishes, right? The dishes had to be done. Well, I started to, and this is what I did, I started to find ways to make doing dishes interesting. There are not too many ways. The secret is just do it. I went in the store and I got different types of sponges. The one that has a brush inside, the one that you can use your hand, the one you don't have to use your hand. I bought gloves, realized gloves did not do much with it. I did everything so that I can just find my way to get better at doing that. I'll give you another example. Many years ago, equally, I was not very interested. I did not like ironing my clothes. I like looking good, but I did not like ironing the clothes. And so I did not, it was a tough thing for me. It just took so long to iron clothes. And so I started thinking to myself that, okay, what areas, I don't like doing this thing, but I have to do it, and I know I need to do this thing. How can I stretch in this area? And so I decided to go in and learn how to iron clothes. I mean, I went to YouTube and I learned iron clothes in less than 5 minutes. Remember, time was my factor, in less than 5 minutes. And then when you iron clothes, the clothes still looks... Then I realized that, okay, these people are doing well. Then I saw that they were using a special type of iron. So I decided to get the same type of iron. I mean, let me tell you the honest truth. It was so well that I really wanted to look so okay that I wanted to make my clothes look good. And I wanted iron that I saved money and invested in that little thing that you raise up and put there and you push it down. You know that thing? I was trying to mimic I feel like if it was like a laundry mat. Like if it was like a laundry mat, then I'll look at it as a fancy thing, right? So I invested in that and raised it up, did that, only to know that thing, when you do one side of it, you move it to the next side, it ruins the other side once you've done that. And I was not good enough with it. So I began to stretch for it. And so I started to do it and practice it. And I would just tell people, and when I was a student, I would tell people, give me clothes. And I began to iron clothes. And I watched the video again, and I ironed the clothes, and I watched the video again, and I ironed the clothes, until I got really good at it. I know. It's like, really? Yes. Whatever is worth doing well. So I did that, and when I got really good at it, and I found this very nice, good-looking iron board. And that iron board, and I said to my wife, she would not release the money to buy the iron board. So I decided I'm going to use my allowance to buy the iron board. It was a very expensive, Dikinuche knows what I'm talking about, very, very expensive iron board. But I got the iron board. And I finally got home. Oh, my goodness. When the iron board came, I'd called everybody. If I could reach my neighbor, I could call my neighbor. I would iron for you. Because now it took what I had practiced and stretched out to a point where it was now fun for me. And my wife would come and say, just iron this thing for me. Or, can you iron the kids' clothes? Now they've got Kasali to iron the clothes. When you stretch, you become better. You know, I'll give an example about this. Just a few weeks ago, I took a balloon after my daughter's birthday. It was a balloon there. I took a balloon and I blew into the balloon. The balloon was very small. I blew into the balloon and it became big. And when it became big, and I looked at it and I just let it go and I put it back, and I didn't want them to know I did the balloon. You know, you blew in the balloon and then you let it go. So I tried to suck all the air away from the balloon so that nobody would know I've really blown the balloon. Only to realize that there was no way. I looked at the other balloons. This balloon that was blown was totally different, even though it had nothing inside. It's totally different from the one that was not blown. Now here's my point. Anything that stretches will never return the same way. If you find yourself stretching, you will never return to the way you were before. And that's the importance of stretching. When you stretch yourself beyond where you are, you will never go back to where you used to be. If you want to leave your friends behind, if you want to leave your mistakes, if you want to leave your hurt, if you want to leave your mediocrity behind, you got to stretch. You got to go to a place you've never gone. Because no matter how much they squeeze out of you, nobody can take what you've already learned. If you learn something, nobody can take it away from you. That's why I said, people, the most precious thing you can ever have is knowledge. Because nobody can take knowledge away from you. And so I find myself, I blew the balloon, and then I realized that it wouldn't come back to normal thing. And same thing with spring. When you pull a spring and it passes a certain elastic limit, there's something that will make sure that it can come back to that same for some time. But when you pull it and stretch a spring beyond its normal place, it will never return to its old place again. If you want to change your status, you have to what? Stretch. Somebody say stretch. Now, what are you stretching? Now, I'll say this. Now, say, stretching requires that you do just a little every day. Just a little more every day. Stretching means do just a little more every day. If you're a great singer, practice a little more. If you're an engineer, just do a little bit more. Just do a little bit more. Reading 5 minutes a day, you can get through. Reading 5 minutes a day, it's 30, 150 minutes. You can, maybe not that. Reading close to 10 minutes or 30 minutes a day, you can get through a book in a year, in a month. Most books are 200 to 300 pages. Most books. 200 to 300 pages. I reckon that you will be able to read a page in 3 minutes or 2 minutes. Right? If you don't, and that's the true story. I'll tell you another place where I had to stretch. I love to read, but I couldn't read fast. See, my wife was born reading fast. And I sometimes don't believe her. We sat down one day and wanted to read a book together. I put it in front of her, and I said, and she's reading and reading, and she goes, I said, don't flip. I said, no, there's no way you could have finished reading that thing. There's no way. I looked at it, and I realized that, okay, well, maybe there's some people gifted in that. John F. Kennedy was said that he would finish the whole newspaper before he even finished his cup of coffee. So many years ago, I decided I was going to change my status, my life. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to read, and I decided to go read. And this is not true. I must have invested close to $2,000 in speed reading class. I remember the first day I went to speed reading class, it wasn't the class, but in speed reading over time. I went to my class the first time, and I went there, and I did the speed reading. The guy walked inside, and it was about 50 people. And the guy sat down, and remember how complicated my name is? Before the end of the day, he walked around and looked and called everybody by name. All he did when he came inside was, hello, what's your name? Call her, and then he walked in. And before we finished, he had called everybody by name. I said, man, you know something I need to know. And so I invented another tape that says how this was time for tapes, right? This is many years ago with tapes, and then times for CD. And I invested in that, and then I invested in many books about how to speed read, and so many books about speed reading. Why? Because I wanted to read faster and understand. Reading is one thing, but understanding was another thing. And I go back to this, I said, a book, you can read a page in 2 to 3 minutes, and if it's 300, that's what, 900 minutes. 900 divided by 60 is what? 15. So in 2 weeks, you can finish a book. Think about it. 2 weeks. Actually, not 2 weeks. Well, 15 hours, right? 15 hours. It's less than 24 hours. Now, spread that across a week. Spend 2 hours a day. You will finish a book in a week. You did not know that, right? That's how easy it is to finish a book. If you're going to stretch, you got to go beyond where you are. But you see, we look at the book and say, it's too thick. I wouldn't have enough time. And we say to ourselves, we don't have enough time. But what I say, know exactly why you want to stretch. Success requires you got to go beyond where you are. The reason why you don't define success where you are is because there's a little bit more for you. So if I cannot define success here, which means success is still in front. And if success is in front, I've got to do something, stretch away from where I am to go to success. Success doesn't come to meet you where you are. We always walk towards success. David walked towards his success. Jesus walked towards his success. Abraham walked towards his success. Everyone walked towards their success. Success does not look up for people. We walk towards success. Somebody say amen. Where do you need to be enthroned? You know, the scripture says that whatever the area is, we need to start with small things. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Luke chapter 16, the scripture says that if we are faithful in the little things, then greater things will be committed to us. So before we start looking at the biggest success we want in life, we have to start with the little success we've got. He was faithful in what is least is faithful also what? In much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also what? Unjust in much. Isn't that amazing? That he didn't say, there's another part of scripture that says, when you're faithful a little more, we'll be committed to you. But the scripture says that if you're faithful in small things, then built into that faithfulness in small things is the fact that when they give you big things, you'll be faithful in it. So the point is not where you are. The point is what you do. Sometimes we look at, but this is only small. Like the parable of a talent. You take one and say, this is only small. No, if you're faithful in this one, then you'll be faithful in that one because it's a thing of the mind. It's a thing of your readiness to be faithful. It's a thing of your readiness to be successful. But if you're not faithful in this, then you don't have in you. Nobody will commit the bigger things to you. I learned a lot about leadership from the church. I always laugh at people who want to do more things in the church but then do not want to show up at the time when it needs to be done. You know, how come only that person is a leader of HOD? I say, if you pay the price of the leader, you will get there. You know, many people look at it, people are looking online and say, well, there's every time you turn on TV or YouTube, there is always the broadcast going on. Human beings are making it happen. You see, and God looks at the things that we do and he says, my goodness, I committed this to this person and he is faithful at this. Then how much more can I give him his own? The labor of those who make things happen, it's not because they don't have, it's not because they're not busy. If I tell you the time to go to bed and the time to wake up in the morning, you realize that they are busy. But they make time for what is important. You will make time. If you make time for what's important, you will be successful. If you want to be financially successful, read a book. You know, I was joking with someone, and I said recently, and I said, if you want to learn something, you have to invest in it. You have to invest in it. If you want to be better at something, you have to invest in it. Start talking to a young man. He was talking about, I want to learn a little bit about financial stuff, and he said, I'm having to invest $500 to someone to teach me for 2 hours. Some people look at it and say, 2 hours, 500, please keep it. Keep your knowledge. John Maxwell, celebrated as one of the topmost leaders in the world by Inc. magazine, was approached and was told, and it was asked the question, what plan do you have for your life or something like that? And then I think they were selling the material for like $600 something or something. I can't remember what the price was. And he went to his wife, and this was more than his salary. He went to his wife and said, no vacation. His wife, thank God for godly women. Said no vacation, nothing, because he needed to learn. He knew that if he could take that moment and learn something, his life would never remain the same again. And if you ask him what changed his life, it was to that thing that he bought. And it was more than his salary. Let me ask you a question. How much of yourself or your pay or your salary are you investing in your future? How much are you investing to stretch yourself? Listen, you're being paid that much because that's how much you have stretched. And listen, let me tell you something about stretching. Stretching would need time. Stretching would need time. Stretching does not create the time. The time has to be, it needs time. In other words, if you cannot create the time for the stretching, you will not stretch. But you can say all day long, or we can say all day long, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I've got all this and I've got all that. You can list it all to God. But one who wants to stretch will not give excuses for that. Stretching will require, success that requires stretching will require us to create time out of nothing. Out of nothing. Again, how are you stretching? Where you are today is the extent to which you stretch. So I got a school, I graduated, I got a degree, they gave me a pay. That's the extent I stretch. If I go back for MBA and they give, I've stretched a little bit more, paying the price for an hour, a year, 2 years, and then they give me a little bit more. And then I stretch myself a little more, and then they give you a little bit more. Imagine, the way, the level to which you stretch yourself is the level to which you get success. Somebody say amen. All right. So, if you want to run a 5K, start with 100 meters. Recently, we started running, and I remember the first day I ran, and the running coach was running with me, and it was going ahead, and it was going, and I started running. I did not know this until someone explained to me that when you have not run a long time, you start running. Not even running, I was just walking fast, a little bit above walking fast, right? Because running is run like this. I wasn't even jogging, I was just walking a little bit fast. And so the blood vessels in my whole body started to pop, and it started making me feel itchy. And it didn't really look pretty when I was running, I'm scratching my whole body on the way. It wasn't looking good. I told the guy, I'm not running anymore, I got to stop. And that was our first time running 1 mile. I got on the bicycle and he started running. And he ran his own in about 15 minutes, he ran a mile. I'm on the bicycle and he's having to look back and wait for me. And I go, just keep going, don't worry, I'll catch up with you. If you want to, and we did it over and over again, and someone, I think it was Pastor Sharon, was telling me, said, okay, so are you ready to run 5K? I said, that's my goal, I want to run 5K. Starting from a place where you're scratching your body within 200 meters. But guess what? I didn't quit. Every day, every time we met, I'll go further again. Every time, I'll go further again. Every time, and this last time I said, you know, this is the longest I've run without scratching my body. Just a little bit more, I'll go further. And that's what stretching does. The body now knows I cannot go back to the same way I used to be. It says I cannot go back. The blood vessels are like, well, I bursted, I'm not going to go back. Now, if I do nothing, it will go back. But if we stretch ourselves, you cannot imagine how much more can come out of you if you stretch yourself. Somebody say amen. It is comfortable. If it is comfortable, if it is comfortable, you aren't growing. If it is comfortable, you are not growing. So you aren't growing if you aren't stretching. Hallelujah. I can tell you a series of stories of me trying to stretch. The other day, my daughters were doing a cartwheel, and I decided to do a cartwheel, and I ended up in crutches. I didn't go back to stretch for that one again. I figured that's not my forte. Stretching is uncomfortable, but it always yields grace result. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, Scripture says that no discipline is enjoyable for the moment, but at the end, it gives great results. So it's uncomfortable. Now, here's the thing I'll say. Lastly, you may want to write this down. Stretching is the antidote to mediocrity. Stretching is the antidote to mediocrity. Second definition of success. Number two, success is finding a way to accomplish your set goals rather than finding an excuse to justify non-performance. Success is finding a way to accomplish your set goals rather than finding an excuse to justify non-performance. You've heard me say the distance between your head and your heart is the shortest distance, utterly no separation, but it's the longest journey we have to make. I was telling us the other day, I said that you know, four frogs sitting on the pond, one fell into the water, they all decided to jump. Three decided to jump. How many is left? And I saw different kind of math I've never seen in my life. I saw from 0 to 4. And the truth about it is that 4, because decisions are not your decisions, doesn't mean you have taken the step. Many of us decide a lot in our minds, but we do not take the step towards it. And we need to start to take the step. Taking what we know or what we want and turn it into demonstrable action would definitely bring about change in our lives. And not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. Now, only those who take a step, only those who take that journey are from the heart, from the head to the heart. I'm not talking about the journey, from the head to the heart. will be successful. How many people know what to do? How many people know that when you read, you know more? Raise your hand, it's okay. Raise your hand. Okay. Don't make me feel like I'm the only one who knows that. How many people have read a book this month? Finished a book this month? So many books went up, so many hands went up, only a few hands went up. So how many people know what to do? How many people are doing what they need to do? Okay, very few people. We know a lot, but the doing is the other part. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I love that scripture. I was reading that scripture recently. And I want to say a lot about that because James chapter 1, I think, is from verse 22, I think. Verse 22. Scripture says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The other day I was sitting with God and I was planning, God, what are we going to be doing for next year? And I'm sitting down and I've been, and this is me, I'm asking God over here what's happening for next year. If you've not done that, then maybe you should start doing that. So I'm sitting down talking to God, and then I started to get some things. And I took that thing and I wrote it down. I saw my wife and said, this is what God was telling me about next year. This is what I'm saying. And this way God speaks, it just tells me what for now, right? And I begin to write that down. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And I left it in a piece of paper. And then a few weeks later, AKA, just a few days ago, I'm sitting down. God said, where's the one you wrote down? I said, Lord God, I wrote in a piece of paper so I will not forget. Which paper? I knew I kept in a paper that I will not forget, but I don't know which paper. What good is the paper if you don't know which paper it is? I wrote in something so I won't forget, but I don't know which one it is. It's as good as not getting it. And God said to me, if you cannot remember that, why should I tell you the next one? And that's the truth about it, right? We all know what to do, but do we do it? Only those who take directions in the area of the goals will become successful. Have you written your goals down? And we're going to talk about how to get to success, right? Have you written your goals down? Do you evaluate your goals? In what areas do you want to grow? In not what areas do you want to be successful? There is nobody who puts limits on your success but yourself. I had to reach that at some point. And my biggest passion in life now is to grow, is growth, and adding value to others. It's my biggest passion in life. I know that clearly as my name. Grow and add value. Grow and add value. If you're not growing, you will. Let me tell you this. The way God has created the earth is growing. If you are not growing, then the earth will leave you behind. Things are growing every day. And if we're going to be successful, we have to give ourselves opportunity to grow. Somebody say amen. The one, where am I? Okay, so understand your goals. Do you have your goals written down? How can you know when you have been successful if you do not know what you're chasing? So in other words, many of us don't know what we want out of success. It's very difficult for us to know success. You know, like I said, it's finding your way to accomplish your set goals rather than finding a reason, an excuse to justify non-performance. And I'm going to tell you the next one right now. Success is when you say, what am I going to achieve? Because if you don't have the goals written down, how would you know you've crossed the line? You know the reason why there's always a line at the end of a journey? So that they know who won. If there's no line and there's a moving target, you will get. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart fonder. But a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. When you accomplish something, there's something that makes you feel like you're successful. It may not be in what other people are successful. It is your own goal. So in other words, if yours is to lose 5 pounds, my goodness, lose 5 pounds. Don't look at the one that's losing 30 pounds. His problem is bigger than your problem. Okay, his problem is bigger than your own problem. You just face your own problem and lose your 5 pounds. If someone's losing, is writing a 10 books, don't start and say, I want to write 10 books before you decide. Pick the one in front of you. What is your goal? What is your goal? By the way, I'm losing 20, so don't evaluate my own. Your own with my own. 20. It's a goal. I only wrote down 10, though. And I'll get there. Hallelujah. I tell you this, it's not fun eating just greens all day long. Not fun. Goals move only. So here's one thing I learned about goals. Goals move only when you apply force. Goals move only when you apply force. So I believe, and this is my right now, goals move based on the first law, Newton's first law. Every object remains at rest or in motion until what? Acted upon by what? An external force. Goal is only a goal. Goal moves. Goals move when you apply what? Force. When you decide to do something. If you don't do anything, you will not get to your goal. I was reading James chapter 1, verse 22, and I said, you know, doers of the word, not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man that observes his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself and goes away. Immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. So if you're not doing it, you can only remember it for that moment, and by the time you walk away, you don't remember it anymore. That may not be a portion in Jesus' name. Now, here's the thing. Go beyond just dreams and talks and wants. Do something about it. Tick and go. Tick up yourself and pick up yourself and go on that journey. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 says, write the scripture in verse 2 says, write it down. Write the vision down and make it plain upon tables. When you write your goals down, decide to take actionable steps every day to see it get done. If you want to reign in life, what is the price you have to pay? It's so funny, after we started talking about that, I remember something, my wife and my daughter came to us and said, Daddy, we need to do this. I said, that's okay. I said, what's the price? And then my daughter came to us, we're planning something, making a decision as a family. My daughter came to me, she goes, Daddy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get this thing. If we're going to get that one, here's what we need to do. And she started breaking down to what we need to do every day. And I thought to myself, maybe she's learning something. Paying the price. If we can do every day, don't look at the big things you got to do, but just do what you need to do every single day. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give you one more before I leave here. And that one is that success, the next success, definition of success, is achieved by using the bricks of failure and disappointment to lay a firm foundation on which greatness can be built. It's very long, but it's important. It's using the bricks of failure and disappointment to lay a firm foundation on which greatness can be built. How many people have failed today? Have ever failed? Okay? 4 people have failed. How many people failed last week? Okay? Now we're 3. The biggest problem with failure is perspective. The question I've got for you is, what is failure to you? When do you know if you have failed? And for those who haven't failed, I'm going to ask you this, when was the last time you failed? You know, what we don't do is we don't celebrate, and I think we need to do this more often. I think we need to celebrate that we failed. I think when you celebrate you failed, and I mean it very, very, I mean seriously, but I also mean it in a very jovial way. I think we need to learn to celebrate we failed, because it depends on your perspective. If your whole life is built on something and you fail in that thing, your life is not that thing. The perspective in failing is that you need to say, "What failure is not what's bad." It's asking yourself, what did I learn? 999 times, Thomas Edison tried the light bulb. He failed. But he didn't stop at number 1, number 2, number 3. He was looking at, what did I learn from this? Many of us can look at different lights and put LED and put everything in there today. because somebody was courageous enough to fail. Failure is a perspective problem. And depends on, is the thing of, the problem of failure is perspective. The one who stays failed has failed. The one who learned never failed. So the one who stays failed, who does nothing, is who you call the failure. The one who learned did not fail. Change your mind from I failed to I learned something new. Because only those who try will make the mistakes. And only those who make mistakes will fail at something only because they tried. I better be the one that tried something and failed than the one that didn't try anything. Because you remember, the success is something you walk towards. And your words mean nothing until you do something about it. Somebody say amen. For us believers, never say, I failed. Say, I learned something new. I learned to do something different. If you do not learn anything at all in life, then that's the true tragedy, is when you don't learn anything. But when you learn something, you are growing. If you aren't failing, you aren't learning something new. I'm not saying that's what all that. I'm not saying failure means you learn something new. I'm just saying that if you aren't failing, then you aren't learning something new. Which means don't get hung up on the failure, but get hung up on what am I learning from this? If I pick up a word and I don't know how to pick the word, I spell the word wrong. If I can ask myself, what did I spell the word? How was the right way to spell the word? I would never fail in that same thing again. Why? Because I learned. You know what? As I think about this message, I was thinking about something about failure. I realized this. That, you know, one of the biggest things I realized that people do when they fail is you're more concerned about what people will say than the reason, than your goal you have set for yourself. You know, let me give you an example. When we were at the park one day, we were riding the bicycle, and this little girl ran into this woman and fell down. And she got up. And her father was apologizing to the woman. Oh, I'm so sorry, whatnot. All the late girl was looking at was everybody else looking at her. And she felt very small. She thought, I failed. And she felt very conscious of herself. And here's the thing. And so they left, and we were going back, and we saw them by the car. And she kept looking at us because she recognized us when that thing happened. And she looked at us. And my daughter was like, oh, what a pity. She still feels down. Her father was putting the bike in the car, and she's all looking all down. She wasn't concerned. She knew how to ride a bike. She wasn't concerned about that. What she was concerned about was the way people saw her. And the reality about failure is not because of you. It's because of the way. It's not because of we fail. It's because of what we think people see about ourselves, about us. How would they look at it? If I fail, they'll fire me. Remember? That's exactly what. They'll fire me. If I fail, how would I feed? If I fail, what would say that? I just prove those people wrong. And we begin to put the pressure on ourselves. And we don't take an opportunity to learn from there. You know, when a little girl is riding a bike, and you've ever seen your child doing something, and they're riding a bike or trying to walk, and they fall down, you know what you do? When you take your eyes away from them, guess what they do? What they do? They get up and move on. The day you look at them like that, then they look at you and say, And that's exactly what happens in real life, right? Because we look at other people and say they're watching us, and so we're like, oh, and as adults, you don't cry now. Now you want a safe face. But the truth about it is, if nobody was there, how many times have you made a mistake on an Excel sheet or on a report, and you cut it before you sent it out? What do? You don't go, who saw that? You fix it immediately. Right? But when you're in the presentation and you make the mistake, now you feel like, oops, I've been caught. So the problem is not the failure. It's because we look at other people and we bring other people into our failure, into our world, and we evaluate our lives by what other people may be thinking. And I wonder what is thinking in their mind, that I'm not smart enough. Who cares? Pick up yourself and go. Failure is not the fact that you're not able to do something. It means you're learning. And success is accomplishing your God-given assignment, not just doing more than others. It's accomplishing what God has said about you. So if you are failing, believe in yourself. Just say to yourself, I'm growing. It's not your failure that defines you. It's what you do when you fail that defines you. Your failure doesn't Failure happens to everybody. You see, if you're looking over the fence, it's because you're standing on the platform of failed attempts. If you can see above where you are, it's because you're moving, sitting on the platform of failed attempts. As a matter of fact, many and all of us are riding on somebody's failure. I don't know what your occupation is. Imagine the first doctor who did open heart surgery. I don't pity the doctor, I pity the patient. But in his heart, he was like, let me help this patient. But maybe the patient didn't survive. But guess what? We have doctors today doing all these things today. Why? Because they're riding on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of them. Don't be afraid of failure. I'll give you another thing, another perspective of failure. Would you allow other people to ride on your shoulder? Are you going to try enough that when other people come there, they should do better than you? We quote Thomas Edison. We quote other people. Why? Because we're riding on them. If you do not try, you will never be quoted. If you don't try, you will never be quoted. If you want to be quoted, you have to give it a shot. Say to your neighbor, give it a shot. If you're going to fail, fail toward your goal. That's why it's important to know where you're going. I'd rather know that I failed when I'm going to Galveston on 45 South than to fail to when I'm going to Galveston when I'm on in Fort Worth, Texas. I've gone the opposite way. So if you're going to fail, fail towards your goal. Okay? Just like success, failure is not a goal. So don't stop after failing. Get up and move. You didn't set out. Nobody wakes up to set out to fail. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to fail at this. So that's not a destination. Why stop? Because you got a roadblock. That's not the destination. That's just a bump on the road. And like life, it always happens. That's when I say, c'est la vie, such is life. Success is accomplish your goal. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. If you fail, fail towards your goal. One of the states, maybe during this thing I'm going to talk about. I read a book many years ago that changed my life, Failing Forward. If you want to pick that book, that's okay. So for those who are afraid of failing, Failing Forward. That book changed my life. If you're going to fail, fail in the direction of your goal, because failure is what? You learning. It's not. It's a perspective problem. It's you learning. If you get up, you haven't failed. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you're like me, then you must have done very dumb things in high school. Okay? And we've all done that. Maybe not the good people around here. But I've done very dumb things in high school. I mean, I've done some really dumb things that I look back and I'm laughing at my old self. I mean, I learned not to touch electricity by touching it. That's pretty dumb. So I was that guy that said, don't do them. Like, why not? Okay? If you've done some things like that when you're in high school, how many people evaluate you by what you did in high school today? If they do, that means you were stuck in that same place. Because they should see you today and realize that that's not the same person in high school. People will look at you and make fun of you in high school, but they look at you today, they'll go, oh, I guess people can change. Prove to the world that you're more than your mistakes. And prove to yourself first. You're more than your mistakes. God didn't design you to fail. Scripture says 7 times the righteous man would fall, fail, flop, fumble. But they were what? Get up again. Rejoice not over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will surely rise. If that's your testament, if that's your word every day that I'm going to fall, but I rise again, then you find yourself without fear. You find yourself taking on challenges you'd never have taken before. I admire those who step. You know, what we call faith, and we think is a big step of faith, to some people, it's just It's just their natural life. They just take a bold step like that. Why do you do that? Aren't you afraid you might fail? Okay? We need to get to a point where it's like, it shouldn't be in our mind that, aren't you afraid you will fail? When you look at it and say, well, don't worry, I'll get up again. When people say, you're going to, yeah, that's okay, I'll get up again. Then you're changing your, you begin to change your life and begin to change your history. You begin to say, listen, I'm not defined by my mistakes. My future is better and greater than what I see today. Amen.